Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
Welcome to the Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. This is episode 9, Retelling Our Story. Today we're going to talk about resilience and how to deal with shame and retell a positive story about ourselves. I'm Alexia Georgiou. I'm a life coach. I'm at theresilientpathway.com. You can email me, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's Alexia @theresilientpathway.com. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast. Be the best, create the best, choose the best. These are happy people habits. Hello, and welcome to our podcast, Retelling Our Story. What is resilience? The ability to recover from setbacks and adapt to challenging circumstances. It's a tool, it's a skill to thrive and flourish. When we build resilience like a muscle, we feel effective and capable. This is the happy pathway utilizing resilience. And today we are talking about telling our story. I was recently at a conference, and one of the presenters is a medical doctor, Dr. Kurt Thompson. He gave an excellent presentation on retelling our stories that we believe about ourselves. And I just wanted to share some of the notes that I took because it was just really powerful. When we tell our story, we heal. And when people seek coaching to seek the next level and actualize in their life, they're telling their story. And a lot of times, if they have things that come up from the past that's impeding their progress, then we retell the story. It's the simplest thing just to go back and remember something that went well and add it to a memory that isn't so great about our past, because something was going right during that time frame. Movement is a sign of life. As human beings, as one race, the human race, we are all the same. Movement is a sign of life. We are regulating information and energy every day. My dad was a physicist, so he studied the physical part of physics. And it's true, we are made of energy if you really break us down. And we can have positive energy and we can have negative energy. So today we are talking about positive energy, how to regulate the negative energy so we don't get stuck in it, because we all have both. And it's okay that we have both. We just want to flow with the positive energy. We are making meaning of life. We are storytellers. Everything we do is an attempt to make sense of our story. There are certain facts in our story. How I tell it is very important. Shame keeps us from talking to one another. So this is why telling our story is so important, because we want to knock shame out of our lives. When we persevere in the presence of others, shame cannot breathe. We were created for joy. Have you ever been through something so difficult that you only remembered the negative, and it was kind of out of reverence for the memory? And I'm going to give an example, because we should not feel shame that we can integrate something positive about that time frame. And I think sometimes when we're going through something, sometimes I've heard someone say, how could you think about that at a time like this? Well, why not? It doesn't mean that I'm not respecting the time that it is. And I'm going to get a little personal, and this is going to be a journey for me, and it's going to be in real time on this podcast. How ironic, while I'm studying happiness and life satisfaction and resilience, I believe it all works together. I'm going through something. I think it's one of the hardest pathways I've ever walked. You know, my mom, she's 71 years old. She has been healthy, eats healthy. We were raised on the Mediterranean diet. She exercises on a regular basis, has great physicals, and all of a sudden she goes to the doctor. Since the beginning of the summer, she's had this pain in her back. She would take an ibuprofen or two. It would go away. It wasn't something that was chronically like interfering with life. It was just painful. Now, I have aches and pains. I know all of us do. And it felt like a muscle pain, like she had a pulled muscle. So she goes to her physical, and now it's October, so about 6 months. And she tells the doctor, and he decides to do an x-ray, and then they find something. And then she has a CT scan and they find something else. And we do not know specifics yet. That's going to happen tomorrow, where we're meeting with the oncologist. He's the best oncologist in town. He came from the Mayo Clinic. So we're very grateful for that. So there's a lot of unknown. And just the past few days, so I've been really reflecting on life. That I'm expecting the worst. I'm not hoping for the worst, but I'm wanting to be realistic. And when I'm talking to my mom, I'm wanting to be realistic, and that's not real encouraging for her. And so I have to say, okay, mom, I'm talking to you like a daughter. I'm not being a coach right now. I'm not being a therapist. I'm not being someone who's speaking to you spiritually. I am being a daughter. We're looking at the reality of this. And I'm expecting the worst. I'm hoping for the best. I have faith, and I'm believing for the best. In no way do I blame anyone. I don't blame my mom. I don't blame God. I don't blame myself. This is just a circumstance that we have to face it and deal with it and do what we can. And that's what we're doing. Now, my frame of mind is so important because whatever the doctor tells us tomorrow, we're going to face it and we're going to make the best out of it. So we're going to see the doctor, and it's in the middle of the day. She's taking the day off, and she needs to. And I'm going to go throughout the day with activities that I have planned. She has made plans to go out with her friends tomorrow. She's very social. She has a great social support system. She told me today, she said, I'm still going to go. I said, that's fantastic. Because regardless of the news that we get, and we're not expecting good news, we're still going to balance it out. We don't have to sit around the house with a gloom on our face, crying. I think it's healthy to cry, and we're going to process it, and then, yes, have some fun. So in the middle of all this, I was at a party. I was dancing to 80s music. Nobody knew, and I wasn't pretending that it was okay, and I kind of made myself go, because what am I going to do, sit at home? I wasn't denying the reality. It was a great distraction, though, and I had a great time. And before you all think she's a partier, I mean, it was a bunch of middle-aged people getting together, and there was nice music playing, and we danced. And I really enjoy doing that. And if you really want to know, my favorite kind of dancing is the tango. When I lived in Florida for 7 years, I took tango lessons in Argentinian tango, and I love going to milongas. I have dance shoes, and that's just something that is just a big stress reliever for me. So I'm still doing those things. And it's not out of disrespect for the situation or my mother. She's still doing those things. And we're going to get through this. And when I start becoming a caretaker with whatever we have to deal with, that's really when I'm going to have to kick in and be positive around her and regulate my emotion around her. Because at that point, we've gotten the news. We know what we're facing. We are being realistic. And I'm going to keep a real positive attitude around her. I'm very challenged to do that already. Even talking right now, I feel a little choked up. That's okay. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Now, what I do know is that we're all going to die. And just accepting that reality, whether it's going to be today's our last day or 5 years from now or 30 years from now, we're all going to die. And it's really healthy for us to think about that, because what if today was the last day? What if we lived like every day was the last day? Because I have moments where I become stressed and I lose my perspective. And boy, if I thought it was going to be my last day, I think I'd be more motivated to deal with it a little differently. And no, we don't want to think gloom, and we don't want to stop living. We definitely want to have meaningful, productive lives. And remember that we're only on this earth for a set period of time. So how I tell the facts of my story are really going to be important to how I cope with the situation. And it's going to be important for me with the 15 mindsets that Dr. Caroline Leaf talks about to practice them. Not to feel guilty about doing anything fun, to definitely apply my 5 top character strengths. We talked about this in the previous podcast. There are 2 measurement tools that I use, the Gallup Strength Finder and the VIA Character Strength Test. You can take either one and go online, and it'll give you the top 5 character strengths. And to build resilience, we apply those strengths in the most challenging moments of our life, and that's how we find our flow. That is a model by Dr. Martin Seligman called PERMA. Positive emotion, engagement, relationship, meaning, and accomplishment. So that's when we flow in life. Creativity. You know, it's important whether we're journaling, talking about it, painting something, we're telling a story. We need vulnerability. Healing shows up when we become vulnerable. We are made to create. So something that I'm hearing is create. We can create the life we want. We can lead the life we want. We can create happiness. We can choose happiness. Shame stifles creativity. So we want to live in a shame-free zone. And so according to Dr. Thompson, again, he's a medical doctor, he says when we tell our story and when we persevere in the presence of others, shame cannot breathe. We were created for joy. That's a powerful statement. So that's what I'm doing. I'm telling my story. I'm telling the reality of it. It's a resilience building podcast, and it's also a keeping the positive emotions in the forefront. Have you ever seen the movie Patch Adams? Have you ever heard his story? Because I know we have the picture of Robin Williams and the wonderful movie that they made about Patch Adams. And it's a true story. And I actually follow Patch Adams on social media. He dresses like a clown. He goes to festivals around the world. And when he ran the hospital in the beginning of his career, there were amazing results just from having a happy attitude around the patients. Now, it's hard to do in our healthcare system. It's a very stressful system. so much that chief well-being officers are being established in hospital systems, not yet in Tennessee that I've heard of. I'll be so happy when that happens, and I actually am going to advocate for that with the lawmakers. It's only in the beginning in the Northeast, in the Massachusetts hospital system, the University of Pennsylvania just now hired a chief well-being officer, a chief wellness officer. I think he's a medical doctor, a psychiatrist at the University of Pennsylvania. So their job is to look at the system and look at what's broken and fix it. Because we have a bunch of resilient doctors, resilient nurses, and they're burning out. And that's not okay. And it's because of the system. So something that we know is that keeping a positive attitude promotes healing. And we need to foster that. And there needs to be increased permission for the healthcare providers for self-care. And that needs to be integrated. The research studies on happiness and well-being and bringing that in the workplace, it's showing there's an increase in productivity and accuracy on tasks. And this is actual studies that Sean Aker did with doctors. They were more accurate with tasks the more relaxed they were. And I'm reminded of an orthopedic surgeon that I was sent to when I fractured my right wrist. He was whistling nice tunes, and he was wearing a bow tie, and he's in Lenore City, Tennessee. And he, before he would walk in my room, I would hear him whistling. And I saw him for 4 months. And he kept taking x-rays to make sure that my wrist was going to heal properly, because I said, please don't put it in a cast. I kept it in a sling. He said he would do it, but it would take much less to break my wrist, not just fracture it. I was ice skating in Market Square, Knoxville, Tennessee, during the holidays with my nephew, and I fell. Do you know how many people were falling? And I braced my fall with my hand, and immediately I could tell it wasn't normal. And it took a few days for the swelling to go down, for the doctors to actually see a fracture. So that was interesting. It took a while. And I will never forget the happy orthopedic surgeon who treated me and continued to give me good news. And that made a difference for me psychologically. Now, you can say she should know better because she studies this and she teaches this and she's been a therapist all this time. And I agree with you. However, in the moment when I become anxious, I'm a patient, and I'm not always a gracious patient. And because when you're anxious, you're not thinking straight, and I can panic sometimes, and I've dealt with the anxiety all my life, and different situations tip us over the edge or shake us up, and we're all different with what's going to shake us. However, we all have something that's going to shake us. And so all that says to me is that I have to practice the mindsets more, and I have more work to do. And so all of my work, I practice what I preach, and I acknowledge the need for it myself. And that just makes me very real. And so the podcast, I will be telling my real-time story as I go through things. I'll also be bringing guests on the show to tell their story, of how they found happiness, to tell their story of resilience. We want to hear people's stories because we become inspired. So that is my goal. So shame, according to the Dr. Thompson, it's neurophysiological state, and it's operational early in the development of our story. So people tell us things, and we make meaning of the data What story do we believe that we are living? Now, when it comes to my mom and the news that we got, I can tell two different stories. And one is, you know, I can tell myself the story, oh my goodness, she's going to die. I'm going to stay stuck with expecting the worst. And I can hold on to that. Or I can say, okay, every day we all only have the day. We don't have yesterday and we have no promise of tomorrow. And so I'm going to make the best out of today and spend some time with my mom and appreciate the time that I have with her. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, in both scenarios, in both ways that I told the story, I really don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know if we're guaranteed one more day with my mom on this earth because I really am expecting bad news tomorrow. But see how I told the story differently? And one gave me just sadness and grief. And the other one, the sadness and grief is still there. However, it gave me a little hope because it's how I'm framing it. So telling our story, getting rid of the shame, that's going to be our goal. And we're going to follow what Dr. Thompson recommends. And he says, and I'm going to read this quote again because it's really powerful. Write it down. When we persevere in the presence of others, shame cannot breathe. We were created for joy. Movement is a sign of life. We're constantly regulating information and energy. We're going to believe the story that we tell ourselves. This isn't about denial. This isn't about an ostrich putting our head in the sand. This is about facing reality, facing our fears, and acting courageously in the midst of it. Anxiety, if you really think about it, it's all about our future state. And we ground in the moment. That this is what I have now and this is what I'm going to experience and appreciate, then there's no room for anxiety. Just think about that. The past is related to shame. And so rewire our thinking when it comes to the past. Add something positive to that memory. Don't deny the memory. Add something positive to it. And we just want to have awareness that telling our story is very healing, that requires vulnerability. And this is when the healing is going to show up, when we tell our story through art, through verbalizing it, through writing it. So tell our story today. Begin that pathway. And it could be just sharing one sentence with someone that we trust. And that's a great start. So that is our homework assignment. The next podcast, we are going to talk about Dr. Caroline Leaf's next mindset, the controlled thinking mindset. See you next time. Hello, this is Alexia Georgiou. I am a life coach. I'm at theresilientpathway.com. Alexia at theresilientpathway.com. That's Alexia at theresilientpathway.com. We were created to joyfully tell our stories. We are healed when we're vulnerable enough to begin to tell our story. Who do you know who struggles with their past? Send them my way. Share the podcast with them. Thank you.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining in the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929 at Arundel Mills. Must be 21. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929 at Arundel Mills. Must be 21. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.